Vince isn't here, and he's supposed to tell everyone about Tokyo Treat and how they want to invite everyone to experience Japan from the comfort of their own home through their snack boxes. No, that's okay. I can do this. I just have to think like Vince. All right. I'm very tall. I'm very handsome. I love Naruto. Okay. I'm embodying Vince. I'm locked in. So, folks, speaking for Vince, Tokyo Treat, a lot of you know this, but if you don't know, it is a monthly pop Japanese snack subscription box where you can get up to 20 exclusive, limited edition, and seasonally flavored Japanese snacks that are only available in Japan for a limited time. And this month's theme, it's the Sakura Matsuri Snack Fest box. It is still cherry blossom season over in Japan. And did you know that the beauty of the sakura can be enjoyed not only during the day, but also at night? And it's known as Yosakura. You can experience the enchanting beauty of Japan's sakura under the moonlight with Tokyo Treat's special Yosakura box. The treats you get, let me open this bad boy up so y'all can get a gander. I'm going to name a few too. You get treats like Kit Kat Strawberry, the Sakura Waffle Cookie. You get Sakura Corinto and Sakura Cream Cake. And since Vince isn't here, I get to have a little treat to myself. I'm going to open up the Sakura Sweet Tart and give this a taste. It's supposed to be salty and sweet. Two flavor combinations I love. All right, here we go. A creamy innard, nice dough, nice cookie-like crust and dough. I'm going in for another bite. A very, of course, florally sweet note to it. I wish I had a glass of milk here, but I don't, so I'm going to keep going with the ad. And if Vince was here to tell you about these treats, he'd also ask me, like, how do I know about them? How do I know what's safe for me to eat? I have some food allergies. And I'd say, Vince, every box comes with a booklet that tells you all about the snacks you're receiving, all the allergen information you need. It also goes in and it talks about Japanese culture. In this month's booklet, you can learn about lanterns. You can learn about the sakura trees themselves. Plenty of information. You can learn while you're snacking. I can't think of a better combination. Look, y'all, Vince and myself, again, speaking for Vince, we love Tokyo Treat. It rules. We're so excited whenever a box comes in. What a great surprise when it comes to your door. We've shared it with friends, with families, with coworkers. Everyone loves everything that comes in this box. It's a no-brainer. And if you want a Tokyo Treat box for yourself, all you got to do is go down to team.tokyotreat.com/kame. And while you're there, you can use our code KAME, K-A-M-E, to get $5 off your first box. Tokyo Treat, Vince loves it. Because I'm speaking for him, I can say this. Vince loves it, and you will too. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Kame House Party. I am Aaron, and this is the universe's only improv comedy Dragon Ball Watch Along podcast. And we have this week another wonderful and also great guest host for you. He is a voice actor and audiobook narrator. I dare say he puts the double D's into dulcet tones.
Thank you.
Oh, see, there you go. Let's not delay any further, Max Nolan, thank you so much for joining. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hello. I'm actually going by Super Max these days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Important to my identity. Did you get that right?
Did you do a bit of Super Max? Did you do a bit of training previous to this that informed
yeah, I've
this?
Been watching Dragon Ball Z for an entire year, but to everybody else, it was only a day. It was only an hour because mm-hmm. I was in the special, the hyperbolic anime chamber.
even faster than the regular time chamber.
Yeah.
Max, thank you for coming onto the show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I gotta ask, what is your relationship to Dragon Ball? What's your history with the show?
Okay, so this is actually the second time I've been involved with the Dragon Ball Z podcast.
Go on.
In 2017, I started my first podcast, which was mm-hmm. called Zenkai Boost, which was a show where me and three of my friends watched Dragon Ball Z Kai, not the original, but the sort of recut remaster they did in the mm-hmm. like mid 2010s. Yeah, it was called Zenkai Boost, and we would watch an episode every day and or every week. And we also were doing this bit where we were trying to figure out what the coolest moment in all of Dragon Ball Z was. You know, like we would have a vote at the end of every episode. I think we only got up to like, we didn't get to Cell. We didn't get this far.
Okay.
Yeah.
So coolest moment could be now.
Could be now. we'll get to it, but I don't know.
What do you remember what the coolest moment is? What you determined it was?
Up to the point we were at, I think it might have been Vegeta using Big Bang Attack to kill Android 19, the clown android.
Okay. That's pretty sick.
But we had a really strong recency bias, I will say. Like as the show came on, it tended to be whatever cool thing happened most recently, you mm-hmm. know? For me, it one of the coolest is classic shit, the very beginning of what we know as Z, the initial Kamehameha Gallic Gun beam battle. That took place in that first Goku Vegeta fight, super iconic stuff to me. I mean, I feel like it paved the way for so many things, Dragon Ball.
Yeah, that is so good. Just I'm flashing back to the colors of it.
I mean, it's perfect.
We're talking about it.
Yeah, and you know what, I like all of Dragon Ball Z. It's a cool story. It's got really cool stuff going on in it, but that first major story arc from Raditz showing up to Vegeta leaving the Earth in shame, mm-hmm. I think that's my favorite stuff in the whole series. I'm gonna go back on myself. That's my favorite stuff with Goku in the whole series. My favorite stuff in the whole series, period, is probably pre-Goku Namek, when it's just Gohan and Krillin and they can't do shit and they mm-hmm. have to make an alliance with Vegeta, and then the Ginyu Force shows up because they're my all-time favorite Dragon Ball characters.
Oh, just wonderful. Everyone's so happy when they show up as a viewer.
I love the Ginyu Force, man. They're awesome. And they're it's so funny because, like, obviously I was a child. I was born in 1990, mm-hmm. so I'm seeing this, I'm like 10 years old. And the Ginyu Force is scary to me as a child. Like, watching Raccoon go take Gohan and Krillin and Vegeta apart is terrifying to me. Which is amazing because, like, an episode before that, they're doing rock, paper, scissors to decide who gets to, like, what ice cream place they're going to go to mm-hmm. at the end of the day. Like, and so forever there is this beautiful thing of, like, these guys are terrifying and they're also the biggest losers in the world. And I really love that combination.
That is, yeah, that's beautiful. I honestly, you talking about all this is like, I don't know if I want to talk about this episode we watched.
I mean, it's okay. We won't have to talk about it because nothing really happened.
Well, let's get started with the podcast proper. I think we're all in very good hands with you as guest host. So it's time for a little bit of Kame housekeeping. We have to get you, the listener, ready for the show ahead. Got to clean up a little bit. And the first part of Kame housekeeping is the world famous, UN sanctioned, 1 minute roundup. Leaf blower sound.
You know, I heard you blowing those leaves over there, and I just, there's something about that noise. Could you, do you know what, how long have you been in this business, in this industry?
The leaf blowing business?
Well, yeah, the leaf blowing business. I've been in it
dang near 20 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, so my dad was a leaf blower, and he died tragically before I was born. But my I always sort of knew that, like, maybe I'd be walking in his footsteps someday. So do you think I could just, have a turn on the leaf blower?
You're not Carlisle's boy, are you?
How did you know my father's name?
He's the most famous leaf blower in this hemisphere? He could clear a yard in 10 seconds.
My mother always told me that he was a special man.
Oh, very special. Again, I'm sorry about his death. A single leaf caught him in the throat. You're choking up thinking about it.
I mean, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. You know what I mean? So you kind of all knew.
And see. That is the beginning of the 1 minute roundup.
Sure.
Where we do an improv scene to loosen or tighten our comedy muscles for the journey ahead. And now it is time for the 1 minute roundup proper, where one of us, this time Max, has to summarize everything that we've covered in Dragon Ball thus far. I am talking 150 episodes of Dragon Ball. Let me do some calculations. 160 episodes of Dragon Ball Z in 60 seconds for you, the listener. So you don't have to go back and watch the entirety of Dragon Ball to know where we're at. You don't have to go back and listen to our podcast. You can just step right in to the latest and greatest. And the only thing left to do is Max.
Yeah.
Are you ready to round up?
I'm ready to round up. It's like I'm at the grocery store and they've given me change in pennies. I'm ready to round it up.
Are you ready to round up for charity? In 3, 2, 1.
Okay, a brain-damaged adult with the emotional and mental maturity of a 6-year-old learns that he is an alien from a planet of people who turn into monkeys in the moonlight, but not like in a werewolf kind of way. He also then learns that out in space, the guy that destroyed his planet is still out there doing, like, galactic genocide for basically no reason. They all go try to stop him, and they do, but then it turns out that there's an even bigger problem, which is that this guy also, when he was a kid, knew a different guy who made androids, and those androids, for some reason, are even stronger than the guy who does intergalactic space genocide. And now one of them is here and is getting even stronger by eating the other ones, and we only know that because this guy's best friend who hates him has a son who time traveled from the future to try and warn them about it, but now the bad future is coming to pass anyway.
My goodness, what a wonderful roundup.
I feel like there's a lot in the middle that I elided a little bit, but the android stuff I realized while we were halfway through is complicated.
It's unnecessarily complicated. A thing you might not know about Kame House Party is that we do not do research, because we think it's funnier to not. Okay. So listeners will write in, and one listener did write in and told us the timeline, I think there are three different timelines that we're working with now, essentially. I also forgot half of it. But correct. It's complicated.
Yeah.
But thank you for that roundup. I loved your use of, I love that you didn't use a proper noun once.
I feel like that you don't need to with Dragon Ball. You know, everybody, after a while, I mean, Akira Toriyama, rest his soul, you know, salute the troops. But he kind of made it up as he went along, I think. And so it's fine to elide details here and there.
We know which guys you were talking about.
There's the guy who's got the crazy hair. Well, that doesn't really narrow it down.
Crazy, crazier, craziest.
Yes. And then there's a guy with no hair, and that is, but that's not the most notable thing about him. He's also 3 feet tall and doesn't have a nose.
That's not the first descriptor you're giving to an officer.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, by the way, he was bald. Like is how that ends, you know?
And if that wasn't enough, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you for the roundup. It has allowed us to move on to the next part of Kame Housekeeping, which is where we let you, the audience, know that we watched two different versions of the episode. I watched the original Japanese language English subtitle version. Max has watched the English dubbed version. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, it is. It is correct. And I'm sighing because like you had probably a more coherent experience than I did, I would say.
We'll see. But in fact, this is why we do this, because it is fun to compare and contrast the differences. Sure. The first difference is usually the title. So Max, could you please give us the title for your episode?
Vegeta must pay.
Mine has the word Vegeta in it, for sure.
Okay.
So the title for my episode for Dragon Ball Z, episode 161, is Super Vegeta in Peril. An absolutely perfect terror closes in.
It's one of the things I love about Dragon Ball, you know? The title is two full sentences.
I feel like I forget every time, every week. I'm like, oh yeah, this is what's going to happen.
And in the American version, they trim it down so aggressively.
Vegeta must pay what?
Vegeta must pay. In it, the one previous to this is called Cell is Complete.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's all you need to know.
Their title guy's just getting paid by the letter.
And they're trying to cut down that contract. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
He's got to negotiate.
He does.
All right. And so we can now get on to the episode proper.
All right.
I think one thing that I will point out in my narration, to set up the scene. The narrator said, "The overture to the collapse of the earth. No, the whole universe has already begun."
All right. So what they did for my episode is,
okay.
I watched the Blu-ray version.
Okay.
And when I put subtitles on, because I'm the kind of guy who always puts subtitles on when I'm watching TV, you know, audio processing, not always sure what I'm hearing. I realized the subtitles that I called up were the Japanese audio direct subtitle, not the like English dub script subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I at first was like, oh, it didn't work because there's a lot of opening narration. like a lot of narration. And it goes on straight from the opening, from like cut open end of the episode, all the way to the title drop. The whole time there's narration happening. Even interspersed with the actual dialogue from characters is a narrator who's like going through all of this with you. And I don't remember much of it, to be honest with you.
And this is the English dub narrator.
Yes, the English dub narrator who notably is absolutely the same voice actor as adult Gohan later on in the series. Probably the voice director, I'd have to imagine, knowing what I know about the industry. You've sprung my trap card, which is I'm the anime dubbing guy, history guy.
This is perfect.
And boy, oh boy, like I told you, I watched a lot of Dragon Ball Z Kai. Mm-hmm. And I knew I was preparing myself for a very different experience, and that's exactly what I got here.
Okay, let's feel free to hop in with any factoid you might have about the dub, as we've discovered that Krillin is in fact alive.
He's alive.
He gets up while Cell just does some stretches still. He's just testing boxing out the new bod. I think there's a moment where Krillin stands up and then he falls back down. A notable line to me was him saying, I'm falling to pieces, and then just flops down.
Yeah, in the American dub, he's like, I hope nobody thinks it's rude, but I'm going to take a nap. And also, hey, this was contentious in my previous Dragon Ball Z podcast, mm-hmm. but I got to shout out, there are things that I think were done better in the English dub, as rushed and as much of a hack job as it was at times. Destructo Disc sounds cool to me.
I will never stop calling it Destructo Disc.
Yeah, can't take it from me. It's a great name for that attack.
It's sometimes, look, Broken Clock is right twice a day.
And the other time it was right was Special Beam Cannon, in my opinion.
Special Beam Cannon's so good.
Special Beam Cannon is fantastic. That's, you don't need to iterate on that.
I think I was thinking, as one does when they have a Dragon Ball podcast, I was thinking mm-hmm. about my favorite attack. And I'm like, oh, it's Special Beam Cannon.
Special Beam Cannon.
Because, and half of it is the name. So we have Krillin falling over. He drops to the ground. He takes a nap. Would love for someone to point out that's like that he is being rude. And then we have Cell. I feel like I wrote down a lot of lines this episode. I don't normally do, but Cell, as he sees Krillin fall over, he's like, hold on, let's see if I can channel Miss Plankton here. Such a fortunate man to be the first to taste this perfect power.
Yeah, in my version, I believe his exact words were, he should consider himself lucky to be the first to be touched by my perfect body.
No.
Which was very interesting as a thing to say, yeah.
No. Yeah. Don't know how that's better than what the other one was.
I mean, I feel like we're pushing something, right? Like we're going in some kind of direction. You know, we're at least, I have to give them some amount of credit for like trying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other thing is that there's just a shitload more voice acting in the American version. They just put lines in places anytime there's something happening on screen for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be like, including if the character we're looking at, their mouth is obviously not moving, they'll just put an echo reverb over it. And it'll be like, this is his internal monologue.
Yeah, I get every now and again, I'll catch a dub version of an episode, and It's like, why are they talking so much?
Why are we?
Yeah, what do we need? What weird thing was going on in the producers' meeting where they're like, we gotta, like, there's too much space, you know?
Kids hate silences.
Kids hate silence. They can't deal with it.
Kids love words and they love the sound of them.
Voice actor for Cell, gotta shout him out. His name is Damian Clark. He's still fucking doing it.
Oh, damn. Still doing Cell?
He literally appeared as Cell in Dragon Ball Super Superhero 2 years ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah, good on him.
Good on him. He now does, oh my God, he was in Yu Yu Hakusho. Holy shit.
Which I am actually watching for the first time.
He was younger Toguro in Yu Yu Hakusho.
I've not met them yet.
Okay, me neither. I'm also watching it for the first time. I haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, that's awesome. Where are you at? Let's talk about Yu Yu Hakusho real quick.
Well, I mean, let's talk about a way better anime. we watched some of it for my previous anime podcast, After School Anime Club, and we got up to, I want to say episode like 12. Okay. I don't know how far. They've only just barely introduced the whole main cast, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I'm at. Is it's their first mission as a team of four. Raiding a castle.
What a fun! It is actually crazy to me that was on television around the same time as this, because it feels more, I don't know, like the thing that jumped out at me is that the pace of this episode is nightmarish. You know what I mean? Like it's so luxurious in how long everything takes forever. Lots of long lingering shots.
It is unfortunately the nature of this podcast that sometimes you
get one of these.
You got a dud. I'm sorry that we brought you on.
Hey, that's a lot. For this particular episode. Someone's got to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Vegeta gets jobbed really hard in this episode. Someone has to do the job.
Yeah, Vegeta, as Trunks is tending to Krillin, giving him a Senzu bean, making his mouth open and close for him. Vegeta finally flies down to fight Cell. As Krillin, so the first half of this is really Krillin, it's Vegeta and Cell just sort of like, are we going to fight now? He's like, yes, we'll fight now.
My favorite part of that whole dynamic is when Vegeta starts like shuffling slowly towards him and Cell is shuffling slowly back like two crabs sizing each other up.
They can only walk sideways to face each other. I think there's one of the funniest things in this episode to me that as they're crabbing up, 16 uses his android vision to say like, oh, Vegeta, Cell had a power up, but Vegeta is still powerful. And then they do like an Arrested Development. It was not with Krillin.
Yeah. And of course, 16 can hear them despite one of my favorite anime, like, recurring anime suspend your disbelief moments is when two people have a conversation and they're standing like 100 feet apart.
Oh yeah. Just you,
there's no way he would hear them,
but you have to know how everyone else feels.
Yes.
About the current punch.
I half expected them to do the thing where they like cut through everybody's reaction, you know, the,
And then we have Krillin after he's like, actually, Vegeta's super weak. And then he goes, but Trunks, you overcame the wall that Vegeta couldn't, right? Eh?
Just such a... There are situations stacking on top of each other that are so flimsy. You know? Like, first, we are to believe that Krillin didn't die, but he mostly died.
Light left his eyes.
The light leaves his eyes and he passes out and then he eats the magic bean and he comes back to life. And then this reveal that Trunks is literally more worried about his father's emotional state than he is about, like, saving the world right now.
It's so, look, some people have dad issues.
Dave, man.
How do you feel about Trunks as a character? For, against, indifferent?
He seems like he's from a different TV show. You know what I mean? Like, he just doesn't fit the vibe. Like, Goku is the hero of Dragon Ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of the perfect hero because anytime they try to make Dragon Ball into a show that's more serious than it is, it to me feels flat.
Mm-hmm.
It's hitting on all cylinders when, you know, Goku... I think there are moments of serious Goku that are fun and good. Mm-hmm. And they're so different than the moments of serious stuff happening to other characters, to me.
I think you're right. There's definitely a time for serious Goku, but it is like the haha, I'm just kind of vibing Goku that you need for those
moments
to hit. That's the
show. Mm-hmm. You know? And the tone of everything fits that better to me. I think Trunks is cool though. I mean, he has a cool sword. That's pretty fucking awesome. Like, there's an image. There's the day that Toriyama died, again, rest in peace, there was a post going around on Tumblr that was a picture of Trunks with his sword in his Capsule Corp jacket sitting at Kami's lookout. Mm-hmm. And the comment under the picture was, this is actually the hardest an image has ever gone. I mean, it kind of is. Like, the design sensibility coming off of it is beautiful. I just think Trunks' personality is not interesting.
He never should have lost the jacket.
Yeah, the jacket was cool. The Saiyan armor is weird. I don't like it.
He can wear a jacket over this armor. I don't see why not.
Yeah, they don't have those big, crazy shoulders anymore, so.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if we talked about this on the show, but Trunks is such an amazing design. I hate his new hair. Him being
that's
Super Saiyan.
That's bad.
It's bad hair. Just bring it down. Bring the bowl cut back.
It doesn't make sense to me. Like, I guess it's because are we to assume this is his hair is only partially affected by the anti-gravity field because he's half human?
Because his weird ponytail, his weird gambit hair, the ponytail doesn't pop back.
I also gotta say, I don't understand why they've decided to turn his hair from purple to blue in the current, I almost said meta, but that's not how we talk about it. The current continuity of Dragon Ball Super. I don't understand why we've done this. Why are you familiar with this?
Because when he first shows up, it's more... Between him first showing up and then that, are we talking about Super?
I'm talking about Dragon Ball Super. His hair is blue. It's the exact same shade as Bulma's, which is just not what we're looking at with Trunks' initial appearance in Z. It's clearly purple.
I've watched maybe 10 episodes of Super because I've held off. Specifically for this podcast,
I am going to get to it eventually.
We'll see.
All right.
We'll see. No one hold me to this. We have not promised anything to any listener. I want them to know this. This is not me calling a shot right now. But in the eventuality of the possible eventuality of it, I have been on a super fast. I have not partaken.
Okay.
But I am aware that a future Trunks does show up. He's like Ozempic'd out, and he does have the blue hair.
His blue hair. I mean, maybe he dyed it. I don't know. You know, maybe I'm just being a hater, and he dyed his hair to be more like his mom.
No, team.
I don't know about that.
Does this?
Yeah. That's the future. He's a little bit of an herb. You know what I mean?
A who?
An herb. Like, he's just kind of an herb. He's a very dry guy, Trunks, is what I'm saying. You know, I think he gets moments of being cool, but for the most part, his personality doesn't really develop until we meet Kid Trunks to me. Kid Trunks is very, like, spunky in a way that I appreciate.
Kid Trunks rules.
Yeah, I like him. He's cool.
Future, I got a pitch for you. Okay. I think you describing Future Trunks in this way, he's a Tobey Maguire.
He really is.
He's like, just,
he really, really is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there could actually be a really fun, like, filler arc where Kid Trunks meets Future Trunks and he realizes that his future self is, like, really lame and he needs to try to help him be cool. I think that could be a really fun couple of episodes.
That would be kind of more interesting than what we're talking about now.
Again, yeah.
We'll get
more. Are we at the halfway point yet?
Yeah, we'll get more into the episode after this commercial.
Hey, Riley.
Yeah, Andrew?
Do you want to make a podcast ad?
I do, but what would we mention?
So I think that we could probably put together an ad for a show called The Podcast Minds. There, before the grace of pod, go we. You know, it's a podcast where we both pitch each other podcast ideas instead of doing one ourselves.
Yeah, it's a podcast pilot pitching project. Totally. We should mention that it's a comedy show, right? Where we throw out ideas like getting weirdly deep into the themes of Jumanji.
Is that one a podcast?
No. It's a podcast idea that is actually a front for me to talk to you about hyperfixations I got.
Oh, that's most of the things that you hit me with. What about instead if we just talked about all the different ways you could do a rewatch of Lost?
Now, that sounds like you just did what I did, but you said it in a positive voice.
Okay, and along the way, what if we pitched ideas like, I don't know, Epic Rap Battles of Mystery, the Lin-Manuel Miranda podcast?
Listen to The Podcast Minds, there before the grace of pod, go we, on your podcatcher of choice on the Moonshot Network. Hi-ho!
Hi-ho! Every Friday.
Only a small reprieve at the lookout as Piccolo is just mad at Vegeta and saying he's letting his pride take over. So his rationale is out the window.
And Bulma's here too.
She reminds
me. You know what's
them.
Funny to me is that, and I know I guess I'm just trying to squeeze any entertainment possible out of this episode that I'm watching, but like we go from Trunks and Vegeta having the majority of the dialogue down on the ground to Tien and Piccolo having the majority of dialogue up on the lookout. And it's the same two voice actors. The budget was not sky high.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Just what? 3-4 folks.
I think they were able to do this episode with like 4 people on this day. And surely one of them was also the voice director at the time, because that's usually how these things worked out.
Okay.
In the sort of Wild West, early, late 90s days of English anime dubbing.
Yeah, just a lot of, I have another podcast. We're covering Evangelion and just... Yep, I recognize a lot of these names just over and over again.
Yep, there's that guy and that guy and that guy. there was like 12 guys working mm-hmm. for Funimation at this time. And now it's, well, now, now they'd probably like to, like you to forget about what's happening with Funimation right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like they forget about Bulma. She's just mad that they're talking to her. And then we leave immediately.
Yep. Right after Bulma kind of rightly calls out the sort of fucked up gender dynamics at play in the Dragon Ball world, where women don't really get to do anything in this show. You know, even they even don't even get to complain that much.
They are in a meta sense, they're literally cut off.
The glass ceiling is a huge problem in Dragon Ball world, and not just because people can fly.
We need a Videl to come. Videl's far off. I think 50-ish episodes, 100 episodes maybe.
Good God. The pacing issues that this show... are you familiar with, like, the weirdness of... I'm sure you guys have talked about, like, the weirdness of anime pacing and, like, anime production, catching up with mm-hmm. manga production. Yeah. It's crazy to me that they can produce the anime faster than the manga. I guess it goes to show, like, what a huge undertaking manga is, like, to be one person doing all that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, this is you could tell they were really trying to, there were moments where it was like, find out next time, because Toriyama has not written what happened yet.
We keep calling him, please.
We, the actors, will be finding out next time.
Or stay tuned for more standing
and sort of like, there is an arc to this mm-hmm. episode. It has a beginning, middle, and end.
We definitely,
and we're in the middle now where, okay. So like, is this the part where Cell, he's pretty clearly like, they are actually, Vegeta is fighting now. And Cell is blocking, doing a little bit of dodging, does like a little fake hit at one point, fakes Vegeta out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like that. I thought that was kind of cool. Like, something's happening here. There's an egg of goodness.
There's a lot of the Vegeta and Cell fight is... Vegeta shooting a bunch of blasts or attacking. Cell not being where Vegeta thinks he is, and Cell just popping up behind Vegeta. And Vegeta... The cool thing about this episode is that it is Vegeta. You get to see how much of a baby he can be.
Yes. Which is my favorite thing about Vegeta. Is when he's a sopping wet loser who can't do anything. I think, weirdly, because their mm-hmm. characters are so opposite of this, Goku is at his best when the stakes are high and the odds are in his favor and, you know, the whole world needs him to succeed. Vegeta's at his best when everybody wants him to shut up and stop doing what he's doing. Vegeta's, like, number one best moments in the show are all when you wish he would stop. And Goku's always like, when you wish he would do more, because he wants his opponent to play with him a little mm-hmm. bit.
Goku is a character that can't afford to fuck up. Where Vegeta is definitely there to be like, no, you can.
It's all he does.
You're still paying for killing a bunch of dudes in a whole city. And also all those planets previously to us meeting you.
He only fucks up. And he never fucking learns either. He's like this the whole time. He never fucking learns.
Spoilers for Super. Does he still have Saiyan pride that ruins his life?
I'm also the kind of guy who thinks the best Vegeta stuff is like when he's hanging out with his family in low stakes situations.
That's I love a Family Vegeta. I did see the Super episode where he's making takoyaki.
God, yes. And there's one where he has to take Trunks and Bulma to a theme park.
I did see that one too. And he's just, fucking he's God. Counting down. But he is just a dad at a theme park. I don't think he's acting yeah. any differently.
No, of course not. And that's what's great about it is you see this dude who is ultra space murder kill guy, bred from childhood to be the ultimate killing machine, and he's kind of grumpy. He's not having a very good day. I love Vegeta.
Vegeta gets clowned on so much in this episode. He's just he's just yelling at Cell.
The arc he goes on is really cool, I think. And I think that, like, I don't know. How did you feel about the way his arc, how did his arc hit you in the Japanese performance? Because in the American performance, he kind of gets to 10 on the anger scale and stays there pretty early. When I feel like there's headroom that could have been built up. And I'm not trying to criticize, like, they're making these, they're in the booth for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they got a lot to get through. They can't make a perfect product every single one.
Yeah, there's definitely more of an arc in there because he's still believing that he's like, no, I've got this. It's fine. I'm going. It's like just a little bit. Okay, he's kind of fast now. Whatever. This is what I wanted. But yeah, I don't think he gets. You don't really know he's like so pissed off until I think he stops. He stops and he's like, please take this seriously. So like, why aren't you using your full strength? And Cell's just like, I thought this was a warm up. And the line that he gives for mine that set me over the edge is, when I have become Super Vegeta, do not mock me.
He's much less articulate in the English dub. Okay,
okay.
It's more like you laugh like that. Like they really trimmed it down.
No,
but the way you phrased it just now makes it seem like he is like, oh yeah, he doesn't really say that. He doesn't go on about Super Vegeta.
Oh, in mine, it's been his whole thing for like 10 episodes, I think, at this point.
I think he definitely said that at some point, but in this particular episode, I don't think he says Super Vegeta. There's a great moment where Cell says Super Vegeta, like that, kind of.
Mm-hmm. That's in mine.
And I'm sure, yeah, that's good. I like that because it's calling out what a dipshit Vegeta's acting like.
He really should have tested this. He should have workshopped Super Vegeta. You just took Super Saiyan, put your name in it.
I don't know if you. So, did you watch Dragon Ball Z as a kid?
I did. I did watch it on like the original Toonami run.
So, were you like me in that? Okay, so there was the period of time where we weren't getting new episodes because it hadn't been translated, localized, all that. During that period of time, what I did is, and this was the early internet, when the internet was way better than it is right now, and there were still like independently owned and operated websites where people would just post whatever the fuck they wanted. There were a lot of Dragon Ball Z websites, and a big chunk of these Dragon Ball Z websites was someone telling you in probably, you know, in way too many paragraphs, exacting details about how all of the rest of it happens because they watched it in Japanese.
I did not experience the web. I came to the web later in life.
I was an early adopter myself.
But what we did have, or that my friends had, were fan translations on VHS. I'm a little older than you, I love the Great Saiyan Man so much.
That's good stuff.
Partly because it was like the first, it felt fucking magical. My friend came back from a con and like, here
I have more Dragon Ball.
Here's your, like, this skips so far ahead. It's a new opening song. It's a completely new intro. We Got Power. I forget if that's the actual title, but new opening theme song. New, it's like, here's Gohan. He's in high school now and he's just doing high school shit. Also, he's a superhero.
Yeah, I remember reading, I have this super strong, extremely clear memory of being like 9, 10 years old, something in there. And on my mom's computer on the dial-up internet, reading this description on a website that had frames and was like white text on a black background of someone describing everything that happens in the Majin Buu story arc and feeling like, whoa, this is so fucked up. I can't believe they go there. He gets brainwashed. Suffice to say, it felt way different as a, like when I was watching it, I was mystified because I had heard every little detail of it.
Yeah.
Or read every little detail of it. But it was different. It was like, it was different than I envisioned it being, and like more interesting and more colorful. Which is funny because, I mean, the thing, my wife was in the room while I was watching this episode today. Mm-hmm. She's not an anime person. But what I said to her was, I can't believe I was on the edge of my seat for this. Because, yeah, I mean, what you're saying, they're fighting, Cell and Vegeta, punch, 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 blast, 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 blast. But those moments are so interspersed with people sort of breathlessly going like, wow, this is really it. He's fucked this time, guys. Like, it's going really badly. What do you think? I also think it's going really badly.
I think this is the saving grace of the episode, is just the weird slow burn of we're watching Vegeta fail.
And he's losing it too. Like, he's visibly losing his composure. As he like, he does realize, I'll say it a million times before this episode's over, the arc is good that Vegeta goes on. I just think that like making the choice to center the storytelling outside of Vegeta's perspective is puzzling to me.
Okay.
Because I think his perspective is the most interesting one. And the stuff about Trunks, we got to get through that, of course, because you got to set up the next episode, which is Vegeta gets totally washed and then Trunks goes double secret Super Saiyan 1.5.
He's double stuff Super Saiyan.
Double stuff. Yes, he goes double stuff. And then him and Cell fight and we learn more like that. We're setting stuff up, but maybe it's because I'm such a Vegeta head that I just really want to see. I love a desperate loser trying to convince himself that he's still got it. You know, this is the energy of like the guy of the, the dad watching football. Who's like, I could still go pro, you know, I still got it.
Just train for a couple months and
I can go pro. See me out there. The 49ers are going to call any day now.
Just watching tapes, looking through yearbooks.
Vegeta's that guy. And that guy is great on a television show. In real life, terrible. Don't want to meet that guy. Correct. Don't want to know that guy. On a TV show, compelling.
No, I think he's had, and the show, what the show has done has, it made you forget that Vegeta sucks, because he's had like, aside from Android 18, he's kind of had win after win after win after win for a good, since he's been on Earth. Bags Bulma stomps.
He'd like everyone to forget about what happened on Namek. Don't talk about that whole part. But yeah, it's been win after coming back to Earth, for sure.
So this
he's married to the most, well, I don't know. Are they married?
I don't think they ever get married.
They don't have like a, they don't have, okay, they're not official, mm-hmm. right? But he is with the richest woman on the planet.
He has a baby mama.
Plus, yeah.
Who is a trillionaire.
Who's a trillionaire, yeah. Literally like the most powerful woman on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
In real terms. But I did, man, you brought up that 18 fight, and man, that's good. I like when he suffers. I love Vegeta, and I love to watch him in pain. The relationship that I have with him is complicated, I guess you could say.
Okay. It's a sub-dom relationship.
A little bit. I mean, a little bit.
I will say, I don't think I... This is a new facet of the diamond that is Vegeta that you revealed to me. Is like, yeah, he does suck and he's a loser. And that's
he's a loser. He goes Super Saiyan because he's so mad that he didn't do it first. That's the thing that pushes him over the edge, is that he's so fucking mad that he wasn't the first one.
In space.
I love that.
He had to go to space. I was like, I'm going to be alone in space.
Yes.
Leave me alone.
Drama queen. It's when he embraces that shit that is just so fun to me. Like the whole, the heel turn later on in the series
mm-hmm.
when he's like, I'm tired of this. I'm just going to be bad. But then his idea of bad is just, I'm going to fight Goku again. I don't want to be friends with this guy anymore. So I'm going to kill a bunch of people.
Would you say Vegeta is your favorite character then?
I mean, it's hard to say. I think him and Goku are like number one together. Mm-hmm. I think, because I do love Goku as well. Goku's just great. I think it's funny that like a lot of Goku's like closest friends are people who used to be his enemy. But I think that's also part of, I think that's supposed to be part of it. Like we're supposed to be kind of like pleased by this. I think like weirdly it ends up meaning that a lot of people in his entourage have like the same personality, which is like stoic and angry, you know?
I'm trying to think if he ever of his close confidants, not these one-off characters that he meets sometimes. Everyone was again. I think
they were
everyone
all
except
one
Roshi. Even Bulma, it's like, oh hi kid, I'm gonna shoot you now.
Yeah, and I mean, like even the guys who are like third rung now, you know, mm-hmm. like Yamcha and Tien, they were major villains. Or if I mean, I guess Yamcha was more of a like kind of a ne'er do well. Like he wasn't mm-hmm. he wasn't a threat to Goku in the same way that like Tien and Piccolo were.
But they were toe to toe,
yeah.
In their ability at the time. But he needs Goku. You need friends. You need non combat friends.
I think he's happy. You know, I think he's cool with it. He's good with his life. I mean, in when they try to teach him how to do normal man things, he hates it.
He does.
He hates
which I
driving.
Relate to.
He hates shopping. He hates existing in society. Chi Chi makes him become a farmer at the start of Dragon mm-hmm. Ball Super, and he hates that.
He loves fighting so much.
It's the only thing.
This is, if I can say, this has been, since we're winding down, this has been a delight. It has not been our episodes usually are. It's much more, many more dick jokes than what we've done. We haven't quite hit our quota.
I mean, well, you
got to
have
fine.
Those. What the show that I told you about, Zenkai Boost, mm-hmm. we got a lot of mileage out of that first episode of Dragon Ball Z Kai where Piccolo shoots Goku and Raditz threw both with a beam. One of us said something about double penetration, and we got a lot of mileage out of that. So like it's part and parcel. You know what I mean? We were kids when this came out. It brings the kid in you back.
Mm-hmm. anything else on this episode? I think we're kind of, it's Vegeta. He knows that he's in trouble.
Yeah.
And
Cell finally gets his goat, you know, like really gets his goat.
I think, yeah, Vegeta does a kick and it's not a good kick. And that's kind of
he thinks
where
it's
it feels
good.
For him.
He thinks it's really good. Like he gets a look on his face like, I got your ass.
Krillin's like, that was in his weak spot.
Oh, did Krillin say that in the Japanese?
Something similar. Vulnerable spot.
In the English, he's just like, oh yeah, that surely got him, right? Like Krillin, but you can feel that the voice actor had in his head, like he's trying to convince himself that was Vegeta taking him out.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's perfectly obvious to everyone that Cell is completely fine, undamaged by this kick.
Stronger, maybe even.
Yeah, like he's become healthier. This was the equivalent of sitting down and getting a nice massage to him.
Well, the transformation really, you know, it can make you sore. So
have you guys talked on the show, by the way, about the way that Toriyama has talked about this arc? In his life?
I don't believe we have.
Basically, he had a lot of ideas that his editor said no to after he'd already written the chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he was getting, like, feedback by committee. They're doing, like, design by committee on him, basically, where they're like, we need new villains, and we kind of like them to be more relatable. We don't really like these teens. Like, we'd really like there to be... Oh, no, sorry. We don't really like the old guy and the clown. We'd like them to be more, like, hip and relatable. Okay, we don't really like the teens. Can you do more of, like a guy who's scary, like a really scary guy? Okay, yeah, a little bit too much of a bug. Can we do anything about that? Can he be like a tall, smooth, like pretty man? Something like that. And it reminds me of the episode of Rocko's Modern Life. Are you familiar with this?
Mm-hmm.
Rocko's Modern Life. It reminds me of Wacky Deli. Does that ring any bells for you, Wacky Deli?
Was it the show that the Fathead's son made?
Bingo.
Okay.
Bingo.
There we go.
The Fathead's son comes up with this TV show. It's a surprise success. He does everything in his power to get it canceled, but the producers love every terrible decision he makes. And it feels like a weird version of that, the way he just kept being like, all right, fine. You want different villains?
Here.
These two, Vegeta kills them. Whatever. Now we got the kids. Okay. Here's a bug man, you know? All right, fine. He can look like a normal guy.
Yeah. Here's your
but he's
got to
eat
pope.
The kids.
He's
and also,
eat
hey,
it.
There's a line in this episode. Somebody says, how could... No, it's 16. 16 says, how could Dr. Giroux create something so powerful? And I got to say, I'm with him. How'd he do that?
Can Giroux
you seen this
create
Goku guy?
An android that even he can't lift?
I mean, it's like he gives himself, and that the staggering weirdness that a guy with an ego like Giroux would put himself in an android body that is not the ultimate one. You know what I'm saying? He goes through all the trouble removing his own brain and building a new body for it, and it's not even his best work.
I think my man, he had to be full of himself. He's like, I need a new body, exactly how I look.
I'm fun. No notes.
One for one. You know what I've always wanted? Glass dome on the head. Slap that on there.
Now everyone can see how big my brain is.
They just felt it before. Now they
Dad.
How did Giroux?
How do you do this?
because Cell seemed like a side project. It's like, I'll get to it later. And then the future happened.
Yeah. He's a fucking bug. I got like a bug in my lab somewhere that's just chilling.
this will be fun. I'll check it in 10 years.
The Dragon Ball Z wiki lists Cell's relatives.
All right.
Future Dr. Gerot creator.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Gerot's supercomputer co-creator.
Oh.
And then it's just like Android 17 and 18, brother and sister. And then it lists all the people he's cloned from, yada, yada, yada. But they're all credited as progenitor. How stunning snub of Android 16 to me.
Not a brother, or just not sucked a brother. Up.
Nothing. No relationship. I don't know him, is what Cell said. I mean, I don't know. How does Cell interact with 16?
I think it's similar in that of like, I don't need him. I just need, because I think in a couple episodes prior to this, Cell, in my version, explicitly said, the computer told me I have to suck up 17 and 18 to be perfect. The
computer told me I have to suck up 17 and 18. You know?
Mm. He didn't say anything about a 16.
Yeah, I don't know this guy.
He's getting beat up. I don't need him in my life. Likes nature, gross.
I just wish that 1718 could have actually been the main villains. Like, that would have been cool to me. I would have been fine with that. I would have even been fine with 19 and 20 being the villains.
Mm-hmm.
I liked them. I liked 19. I like that he's a weird clown man. I like that Dr. Gerot's actually getting in the fight. That's cool.
They could have, if we had them all four of them.
Oh, and then my 16. God.
Five, we fucked up.
Five androids, man.
He said it. Five androids. That's so good.
Five androids. And maybe they can combine. You know, maybe Gerot. Here's, we're workshopping a better version of this arc in Dragon Ball Z, which is where Dr. Gerot decides to incorporate 17 and 18 into himself because he's tired of them back-sassing him.
Yeah.
With their teenager ways.
He started this loud music.
Yeah. You call this music?
Where's the tuba and trombone?
He's hitting me as a big CCR guy, Dr. Gerot.
Okay, you know what? You're right. He,
you know,
he loves a Newport.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh hey, before we do close it for real though, I want to say that like, there is another thing that we didn't really talk about, but that is amazing. I think the English dub did really well. This controversial statement I'm about to make.
Okay.
I love the Bruce Falconer score. I adore it.
Interesting.
I know everyone hates it. And I think the impetus for creating it was really stupid, borderline racist, to say, like, the kids aren't going to understand this.
Mm-hmm.
The kids aren't going to love this incredible soundtrack by Shunsuke Kikuchi, who wrote one of the best anime soundtracks ever. Let's just get some guy who works down the street to write some music for us that we're going to use 10 seconds of in a loop at the absolute maximum. But I kind of love it. Like, when the Vegeta theme kicks in, the really heavy, like, boom, ba-dum, gets me going. I'm here for it.
All right. Yeah, I've not heard any of that music in a while. So I
just got to listen to
it.
A lot of it.
but we'll have to go back. I'll have to, when Vince comes back,
you got to pull up that Vegeta scene. More for it's it. It's legendary.
Well, Max, thank you for coming on
my
the
pleasure.
Show. Is there anything?
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks all around. Is there anything you would like to plug?
Yeah.
Anything coming up?
Yeah, like Aaron said at the beginning, I'm a voice actor. I'm an audiobook narrator. I got samples of work at maxnewland.com. There is a book featuring my voice coming out soon from Beacon Press Audio. that is Borderline by Alexander Chris. That's coming out on April 30th.
Okay.
The full title is Borderline, Biography of a Personality Disorder. It's a really cool book about the diagnosis borderline personality disorder, what that means, the history of it, the kind of stigmas that exist in our society around people who just need help. It's a really cool book.
Yeah, that sounds like a very good and
if you
want to
hear me
read.
Talk about something way smarter and sound like a lot more professional, that's the thing.
Perfect. Yeah, well, I'll make sure there will be links in the show notes. as we close out here, I do want to say, I know we haven't gotten to emails too much lately, but I just want to say thank you to some folks that have reached out, checking on Vince, just letting us know they like the show, Trey Young, D Price Houseman, Master Researcher Nick, me and Vince refuse to learn anything, Nick Wolf comes in and schools us. So there thank you all for reaching out. Appreciate it. Vince appreciates it. This podcast is part of the Moonshot Podcast Network. So go check them out. Moonshotpods.com. A lot of wonderful shows. You can listen to Max's, show, After School Anime Club, which I was like a hunt and peck on that show, but like very fun, just a fun hang of the show.
We had a tremendous time making that show. Maybe someday we'll get back to it because it is a lot of fun. It's just also a lot of work, as I'm sure you know.
Whether you are getting beat up by a bug or yelling at Piccolo for not listening to you, you gotta
keep fighting.
Keep fighting.
Coming.